chapter 6 this morning. Be a little shorter message because of all the things we're doing. Hopefully Dennis and Sue will make it tonight. They're trying to make it this morning. They're really fighting to do it, but we'll see what happens tonight. And we'll have a good service either way and share some more things. John 6. Title of the message is Trust the Lord to Draw Us. Trust the Lord to Draw Us. Verse 31. Said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father which giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he had said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, a son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll talk about God drawing us. Father, thank you for the Word of God. It's amazing and powerful and perfect. And we thank you for the Word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are right, making wise are simple. They enlighten the eyes. We thank you for what your scripture does for us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the blessing you've had so far in this service. Lord, you got some people with heavy hearts, some people who have some burdens, some people who've seen some things and been through some things and been attacked and had their mind in all kinds of places. But now, Lord, I pray we'd all be able to get together and be helped and drawn to you, and you'd speak to us and give us what we need. Comfort us, strengthen us, speak to us, and help us, Father, to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may the power of the Holy Spirit give me every word to say and every thought, and encourage your people, Lord, and speak to them in a great way. We thank you for the word. Thank you for all it gives us. Thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. They wanted a sign from heaven, the Jews did. They always wanted a sign. Sometimes I find that people say they want a sign because they want an out. And they already know the truth, but they want to find some reason to. They're looking for another step and another step. And no matter what God gives them, they'll say, I want something else, because they really don't want to do right. And certainly that was the thing with the Pharisees. And Jesus said, I have better than the sign that you want. They said, we want a sign. Moses gave us a sign. When he came, bread, and this is what's so brilliant about Jesus. They said, Moses came and bread came down from heaven, so we knew he was of God. When the bread came down from heaven, they did not follow God. But they were the same group of people, just a future generation of the same type of people. And Jesus turns it around and says, when Moses had that bread come down from heaven, you know what? That's good. I'll use that. I am the bread that came down from heaven. I'm the bread that came down from heaven. He says, you want bread from heaven? You're looking at him. And I'm the bread you need to eat. And if you have me, you have everlasting life. I'm the bread of God that came down from heaven. That didn't go over well. And they did not like that a whole bunch. And we see verse 31, our fathers did eat the manna in the desert. It is written, he gave them bread from heaven. Jesus said, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father, which gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world. And he said, well, give us that bread then. And Jesus said, all right, all you have to do is believe. Jesus said, if a man, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. When someone comes to Jesus in faith, they are satisfied. All that cometh to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He says, you won't believe on me, but that's why you don't have what you have. But you'll never hunger and you never thirst again. I find everyone who went on that mission trip will tell you a very funny thing. Americans are much wealthier. Americans have way more things. They have all kinds of gadgets and this and that and the other thing. Every single one who went on the trip will tell you those poor people were happier. Amen. They were happier than Americans. The kids were happier. The adults were happier. The whole society had a different disposition. Mankind goes in this frustrating thing without God of trying to find satisfaction. And they get what they thought they wanted. First, they thought they wanted a car and be able to drive, and then they get that. And then they think they want to get a girlfriend, and they get that. And then they think they want to get some more money, and they get that. Then they want a nicer car, and they get that. And then they get married, and they wanted that. Then they wanted kids, and they got that. And every step along the way, they say, as soon as I get here, I'll be satisfied. They keep on trying. And the satisfaction comes from God. That's why I truly believe our culture that is hyper, over-entertained with music, with videos, with TVs, with video games, with everything, where they can't now even, I mean, go to the airport and try to find somebody who's thinking. I mean, it used to be, some of us would just sit at the airport and watch people, and that was like the zoo, and watching people at the airport. People are weird, and you do that. But you know, everyone's so hyped. You know what? You know all that entertainment. You know why they have to be entertained? You know why they have to have that cable, and they have to have an iPad, an iPod, and a smartphone, and everything else. You know why? Because it's escape. Because they're not satisfied in their soul. That's why people take drugs. Because in their sober mind, they're not happy. They got to escape from reality. When you really get close to God, you're happy. You're satisfied. Happy is not the word. Satisfied is the word from inside. Because that's what Jesus does for you. And he says, if you come to me, you'll never hunger or thirst again. I'm all you need. As long as you stay close to me, you'll be satisfied. God's will is salvation for these people. Verse 36. And I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. I want to say this, God will never reject you if you come to him. God wants you, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how bad you have been. God says, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. I never will cast anybody away. A seeking sinner never comes to our Savior and goes away empty. He wants them. He wants the worst to the best. He wants the highest to the lowest. He wants everybody. And he says, everybody who comes to me, I will never cast you out. I invite, you've got to come, and then I will receive you. And he said, I came that you can get eternal life. That's why Jesus came, was for our eternal life. And then they debated with Jesus whether he came down from heaven. They said, you didn't come down from heaven. And there was a big debate over that. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven. Now everybody else is born. Jesus said, I came down from heaven. And he repeats this and repeats this and repeats this, saying, I am not just another man. And for the Muslim religion that says that Jesus was just a good prophet, and the Buddhists who say he's just another enlightened one, and for people who say he's just a great prophet or teacher, he came from heaven exclusively. He was the Son of God who came down from heaven. And he says that in several different ways. And in verse 42, and they said, is not this Jesus? Did we know his mom and dad, Joseph and Mary? But he says, I came down from heaven. He says, don't murmur among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written that prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of my Father cometh to me. It's interesting. There's a prophecy in the Old Testament. It's in Isaiah 54, and it says, and God himself shall teach them. And Jesus claims that verse, saying that he is God. God is teaching you this right now. And not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, me. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. This is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. You get salvation. You get to eat of me. You experience of me. And then he goes and says, if you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, if you partake of me, not in communion, but as verse 35 says, you come to me and believe on me, you get eternal life, and you're going to heaven then. And so he teaches them that. In the middle of this, he just tells them something. He says, no man can come to me for salvation unless my Father, which is in heaven, draw them. He's got to draw you to me. And that is biblical, and we totally believe that because the Bible teaches that in many places. No man can come to Jesus and be saved except the Father draw them. Except the Father draw them. And we don't believe in pure Calvinism. Calvinism states that man is totally depraved, has no ability to come to God, has no ability to choose salvation. And we don't believe that at all. The Bible is clear on that. Whosoever will can do these things. And the Bible from Genesis in the Garden of Eden all the way to Revelation 22, when he says, whosoever will may come, the tree of life, and all the choices people made in the Bible, we see mankind certainly has a choice. But God draws us. And if God doesn't start the drawing process, we won't come to God. It takes his Spirit. It takes his leading. We don't have to follow that, but he draws us to him. And he uses a few different things, but if I could illustrate it in the same way, you see a cat somewhere and you want to play with the cat and you throw a string out there with a little handkerchief on the end of it or whatever, and you start playing with the cat and you're trying to get the cat to come to you. You pull the string and the cat comes close and you pull the string. The cat's choosing to come toward you, correct? But are you drawing the cat to you? Okay, both are happening, and God draws us, and our direction with our inclination of sinfulness and selfishness and the world and the flesh, we don't even know we need God. We don't even know how much we need him or what we really need in life, unless God begins to draw us to himself. Wow, and you awake? Turn the piano off. Is that what I need to do? Piano's off. So we're having PA issues a little bit here. We'll figure it out. I saw two of you sleeping, and we got a little button I pushed right here. And so that'll keep you from that next time. And you're going to be good now. And God draws us to himself. The Lord says, I want you to be with me, and I'm going to draw you to myself. I do this with my kids sometimes. One of my little babies will want something, and I'll say, come on my lap, and I'll give it to you. I like being with them. And so I'm drawing them, and I'm going to give them something, but I want to draw them to me. And I know if I was a better dad or better looking, my kids, I wouldn't have to trick them. And I had to tie a stake around my neck to get a dog to play with me. But I draw my kids to me. God the Father draws us to himself. And you can't come to God except he draw you. No man will come to Christ for salvation. I wanted God. I wanted to be saved. I didn't even know God was drawing me. And God was drawing me and then put the soul winner there and put the situation there. And then I said, yes, but he was drawing me since I was a little lad. He was working on me to come to him. Just a few things, some ways that God draws us. Number one, God draws us with a hunger and thirst for him. And we can look at verse 35. And Jesus said unto him, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. We go back a chapter and a half to John chapter 4, and he tells the young lady, I've got everlasting water that'll satisfy the thirst of your soul, and you'll never thirst again. He draws us with a hunger and a thirst for God. Psalm 63, verse 1, and Psalm 42, and other psalms says, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I'm longing for God. I'm thirsting for you, God. I didn't know what I wanted in life. When I didn't know God, I knew I needed something I didn't have. And I thirsted for something different. Now, in my heart, I wanted to know I was going to heaven. I wanted to be close to God. Even though I was a bright little kid, I wanted God. Now, I didn't know it was God I wanted. But something in me said, I want to be close to the Lord. I want to know God. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know anything about him. I just knew that that God, there was a God and I wanted to be close to him. And I actually, if anybody talked to me about God, I would listen very intensely because I knew there was something I wanted there. Eventually, sin kind of numbs that, and it's kind of a morphine that makes you not feel it as much, and the world draws you away, and you try the world, and just like a drink that doesn't really satisfy you, it makes you feel good for a second. It's like drinking salt water when you're real thirsty. At least you got something wet in your mouth, and you feel a little better for a minute, but it's actually destroying you. And the longing and the thirst and the hunger for God, God gives that. He puts it in us. He puts our soul so that it's a certain type of sponge that is longing to absorb God, and yet we throw a lot of things at it, a lot of liquids, and it never really absorbs what it really wants. It just temporarily gets something. And so one way God is always drawing us is a longing in our heart for more, for Him. It's actually Him. So one person put it, you have a God-shaped void in your heart that everything you stuff in there will never quite fit it. But when you meet the Lord and get close to Him, you suddenly have your thirst satisfied. You suddenly have your hunger satisfied, the hunger in your soul. And the Lord is drawing us by giving us a thirst for Him. Sometimes your relationships fail. Sometimes the person you thought would satisfy you didn't. Sometimes you think the job or the career or the money or the whatever, and you get it, and for a while, you're distracted, and for a while, but it'll come back because God's trying to draw you. He wants you to want Him. He wants you to know your need. Now, on His end, He knows as desperately what you need. He loves you and wants to be close to you. He knows He is what you need. Nothing else will do it. But for you, on your end, it's good for you. And He knows that He is best for you. And He knows what you need. I've always said when somebody can't quit sinning, can't quit doing bad things, you know, I could try to stop and give you some methods to stop doing what you're doing. But really, those are just symptoms that you're not close enough to God, because when you get really close to God, you don't need sin. You're satisfied. You just stuffed yourself with food and drink, your last drink, and you sat back and you reclined, and somebody says, "You want this?" And you say, "You know what, I'm full." Best way to stop sinning is get close to Him. Because sin looks pretty dirty and icky and wasteful and pathetic and regretful and small when you've experienced Him. And I want to say, the farther you get from God, the more the world will seem like what you want. And you'll be desperate to get the things of the world because you got to have something more. You got to have something more. And you're going to find out that it's going to leave you thirsty when you're done drinking and hungry when you're done eating. But for a little while, you have something in your mouth too, and you'll feel better. But ultimately, it's the Lord is drawing you by thirst. Second way, and I'm just going to give you a few ways because of time. Second way the Lord draws us is what we'll call a hedge of thorns. A hedge of thorns. I'm going to go back to the book of Hosea. Hosea, you don't have to go there. It's a very hard book to find. Hosea chapter 2. Hosea had a wife. Her name was Gomer, and she was he married her, and she was a very immoral woman. And she left him and began to be basically a prostitute and very wicked and very immoral. And she was a very bad woman. And she ended up eventually in slavery, and Hosea bought her back. But one of the things it talks about how that she had gotten away from Hosea, and God is illustrating His nation Israel in the same way that Hosea was to in the same way that Gomer was to Hosea, Israel was to God. And He let Hosea in his life experience what God is experiencing with His nation. And then He illustrates it because He says, she's going to try to run away, but I'm going to hedge her in chapter 2 and verse 6. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, and she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them. And then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better for me than for now. I'm going to return to my first husband. And just I'm going to read another verse in Lamentations. A hedge of thorns that blocked her way and drew her back to where she wanted to go. And back here to Lamentations, chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. God is looking from an overhead view. He sees everything. And God says, I want you to end up right over here. And this is paradise. This is goodness. This is my presence. This is the fulfilled life. This is the abundant life. This is the blessed family. This is the blessed life. This is eternity and riches and wealth and beauty of heaven. This is everything you want. But we say, I want to go this way. I want to go this way. But when we're God's, God says, you are mine. And Israel, you're mine. And God knows where we're going to try to walk, and he knows where we're going to go. And he went ahead and built a hedge. And we in the Northwest would think of blackberries. It's a hedge of thorns. You ever try to get through blackberries when they're a big wall of them? I think they're alive. They grab you with those thorns. And she tries to go this way, but there's a hedge that way. And she says, okay, well, I'll go around it. And she starts going this way. And when she tries to go and go after her lovers, she sees her lover's head up there, and she tries to go that way. Oh, there's a wall there. I'll go around this way, and I'll go this way. Oh, there's a wall there. Okay, I'll go all the way around, and there's a wall there. Man, there's walls all over the place. I don't want to get here. That's not what I need. I don't want God. I want those lovers. Let me go this way. And I try to go this way. And he blocks the path. And you try this way, and you go in a big, long realm, and you go all the way around, and you're like, okay, I see him up there, I'm going to get them. Oh, I got to go this way. Oh, I got to go. Oh, man, I got to go back this way. And you're wandering around everywhere trying to get where you want to go, and there's God again. I don't want to go that way. I want to go this way. But God hedges your way with thorns. Why? Because he loves you. Because you know where you need to end up. The same way we put a fence around our yard to keep our dogs in or our kids in. Because God says, I'm going to lead you and by the way, how many testimonies have I heard? And someone who doesn't want God seems it's so mean of God. But those who've come back say, I had this plan, I had this, and you know what? I got poked and poked and poked, and it didn't work, and I found out this is what I wanted. God hedges your way with thorns sometimes. Doesn't do that to everybody. But when God is trying to draw somebody back, one of the ways he might do that is hedge their way with thorns. And people in this room, people who have given me their testimony, you had a plan, you had your life, you had this, and God is saying, no, it's not going to work out. And in the process, you hate hedges, and you're mad at whoever built that stupid hedge. But when you get back to God eventually, and you say, as Gomer did, I'll return to my first husband, because then it was better for me than it ever was. And all of a sudden you find a God who's drawn you back to himself. Now, you can walk out. You can always walk away from God. But he's drawing you back. You have free will. But you know what? God's drawing you back with a hedge of thorns. And somebody else might have been able to go the way you think you want to go, but God's drawing you because he loves you, because it's best for you, and because it gets hard. And sometimes I've seen that hedge of thorn with a few hard-headed people, because the hedge of thorns are usually for hard-headed people. I've seen a few hard-headed people who got saved as a child, 8 years old, and then get out of church at 12. And I've seen him at 40, having with a whole bunch of scars all over him for running into hedges. Can I just tell you, just return to God. If God's drawing you, don't make it so that he has to put a hedge of thorns. And you're eventually going to find that God is able to build more hedges than you are to cut them down. So he's drawing you that way. That's one of the ways he does it. Now, hopefully it isn't that way. And I want to say this. If we're thinking about our unsaved friends or unsaved loved ones, pray for God to work in their life and pray for God to draw them. Now, God might use all kinds of methods. He might go and he might do it with a thirst for the Lord. He might do it with hedges of thorns. And you will watch when God begins to make hedges of thorns, some frustrated people who should be able to get a lot farther than they are. But you love them and you're praying for them. You don't want bad things to happen to anybody, but you want people to return to the Lord, and you want or to be saved or whatever it is, a hedge of thorns. And I've heard so many testimonies. I want to say, last of all, the way God draws us, I'm going to be in the book of Jeremiah. the way God draws people is in the book of Jeremiah. And these are just a few ways. God uses several ways, but no man can come to the Father except, or Jesus, except the Father draw him. It's Jeremiah chapter 31. And Jeremiah chapter 31, this is the best way. In verse 3, it says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." With loving kindness have I drawn thee. God says, "I drew you with loving kindness." Then Hosea, I shouldn't have turned from it. Chapter 11 and verse 4. It says, "I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love." There's some wounded people out there in our culture. They've been hurt by their own family, by their husband or wife, by their girlfriend or boyfriend. They've been hurt by their friends. They've been hurt by their own children. They're longing for love. Longing for love. They're longing for companionship. And they'll try bad relationships. They'll be desperate in their attempts. They'll take chances in relationships because they're looking for love. I want to say this. One of the things and some of the most sweet conversions we ever see is when someone has felt hurt or abandoned or alone, when God draws them with his love. He begins to pull that string and they pull a little closer and pull that string, and eventually they end up in the lap of a loving God. I think that was a lot of me. I think I was pretty abused as a child and did not feel very loved. And when I got saved and found out what the Bible said, I drew close to God and found true love. I found a friend. I found a father that I'd never had. I've never backslid since I've been saved. I've sinned way too many times, but I've never drifted from God. I've never left God's will. I've never missed church. I've never missed my Bible. I've stayed close. One of the reasons is because I just love God. I want to be close to him. And he loved me when I wasn't very lovable. Matter of fact, he still loves me when I'm not very lovable. And that love of God is so satisfying. And one of the things that draws me to God is not fear of God. What draws me to God is not how terrible sin is. And all those things are little factors. What draws me to God is I find everything. And by the way, I have lots of love on earth. Now, I didn't grow up that way. I have a wife who loves me. I have kids most of the time. And when I'm not spanking them. I have kids who love me. I have about a third of the church who likes me. The third that wasn't sleeping. And I have a lot of love. And I like all that love. And it's very important to me. And it encourages me and means a lot to me. But you're going to find when you get close to God and get his love, acceptance of people is not your heartbeat anymore. I like to be liked. I like to be loved. But there's only one person. If I have that love and that relationship right, I can handle everybody hating me. Amen. I don't like being hated. Why would anybody hate a wonderful guy like me? Amen? I don't know. But you know what? God says, do you want real love in a very hard world? You want true love that won't change and leave or fall in love with somebody else or abandon you or say, I love you, baby, one day and the next day not answer your calls? You want real love. And by the way, I believe you can have people who really love you on earth who are there for you. And I believe if you have those people, appreciate them. I believe those people are there. I think God gives you people, and I think that the human ability to love is we're made in the image of God, and it's good. But I want to say that God draws some of you with loneliness and heartache, and you can't get that love you need. And new people who do that will probably be able to draw closer to God than anybody else, because the greatest longing in the human existence is to be loved and to love back. And God draws you with cords, just like the cat, of love. Come here and you'll find real love. No man can come to me except the Father draw him. And that's what happens. Remember a story of a preacher telling about how he came to Christ. It was a great story. I'll finish up with it. He was a hard man, special forces military, tough guy, and just a rough, angry, bitter guy. And one day somebody knocked on his door. I'm from so-and-so church. Want to give you an invitation? Want to invite you to come to our church? And he says, all right, thanks. Took the paper, slammed the door. And he said, nuts. He took the paper, and he's for some reason, something said, you know what? This is disrespectful. I'm not going to throw it away. And if I ever need God, I'm going to look through all these things, you know, and look and see if he can find it. So he puts it on top of his, in a box on top of his fridge. Not that long after that, he's at a park, and somebody is preaching at this park. And some kid walks up to him, hands him a paper, and said, I want to invite you to come to church, and this tells you how to get saved. And he says, okay, thanks. And thought, these people are nuts. He had another guy in the military walk up one day to him, and he says, it's getting ridiculous. And this guy walks up and gives him a paper, different piece of paper, and says, hey, I want to invite you to, this tells you how to be saved, you need to be saved. And God started drawing that man, but he was not interested. And it seemed like everywhere he went, in the store, went there, just place after place, he kept on keeping them, and he'd take them and throw them in the box. And he said, I'm going to keep all these different churches and religion things. And if I ever need God, I'm going to look through all of them and see, which one's right. And I'm going to go and, try to figure it out. But right now, this seems like a bunch of junk to me. And he got given a bunch of brochures by different people, different places, for a good extended period of time. And boy, all of a sudden, he got brought very low. And he said, I need God. And he knew he needed God. God was drawing him. He reaches out to his box. And he says, I don't know which one of these is right. I'm going to take them all out. I'm going to look through them and call these things, probably cults and religions and all kinds of things. And he takes the first one out. I think it said Calvary Baptist Church. He said, all right, there's Calvary Baptist Church. Take the second one out. Calvary Baptist Church. Takes the third one out. Calvary Baptist Church. Fourth one out. Calvary Baptist Church. Tons of tracks in there, every single one from the same church. Different tracks, different times, different people, all over the place. And he said, you trying to tell me something? No Jehovah's Witnesses got to him. No other churches. Long story short, went to that church, got saved, had a pastor who was a right pastor for him. Man's doing a great work for God. That man now has a very large church. Great ministry, impacting the world. Why? God was drawing him. God was drawing him. And maybe God's drawing you today. Maybe God's drawing you to come back to him because you're saved, but you've wandered, or maybe you're not saved today. Maybe today you're saying, you know what? That's what God's been doing to me. He's been speaking to me. Maybe you don't even know how to get to heaven. Today, maybe God's drawing you, because you can't come to God unless God draws you. But you can come to God once he draws you. And if he's drawing you today back to him, maybe back to the relationship you used to have with him, maybe you've wandered around a little bit, or maybe for first time salvation, if you're wandering, then today come to him. You'll never thirst or hunger again. And go back to your first love. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for these truths. Thank you. Show us some ways you draw us, and there's some other ways, Lord. But today we're just talking about love and thirst and hunger and a hedge of thorns. And I pray today that if someone's wandered, they'd come home. If someone's not saved, they'd be saved. If some Christian has wandered into the world or wandered away from you, I pray today they'd be drawn back to you. Thank you, Father, that you draw us. You have plenty of things to do, Lord. And yet you initiate a relationship. We thank you for being so good, because you know what's best for us and you love us. You want to be with us, want to be close to us. Draw us, Father. And I pray today that people have been drawn by your Spirit, and that those who need to return would return, and those who need to be saved would be saved. And thank you for being a good God. We thank you for the Scriptures who show us these things. Thank you most of all for drawing us with cords of love. in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed, real briefly. I'm not going to keep you long. I want to ask